today, and has been, dear God, since the beginning. The thing that you and I got to make sure we keep in mind is that there's absolutely, unequivocally, no benefit in worrying. There's not 1 ounce of benefit in worrying. None. As a matter of fact, worry will, in fact, hurt you. It will start to rob from your peace. It will rob from your health, and it will shorten the days of your life. So don't worry. But a lot of people, when it comes to thinking about the future, are in a state of worry. You know, I can remember coming up as a child. Just about every day, I would grab the newspaper. You know, this is back in the day we had printed newspapers. Anybody remember that, printed newspapers? Everything on our phone, huh? Had a printed newspaper. I'm from Detroit, so I was reading the Detroit Free Press or the Detroit News. Those were the two main papers for the city of Detroit, so I had one of those. And as a kid, watch this, as a kid, I would always find myself to the horoscope section. Now, I'm born in June, so that tells me that I'm supposed to identify, you know, in terms of, you know, astrology, all of that kind of stuff, as a Gemini. So every day, I would look and see, what does it say about a Gemini? As a child, I want to get some greater insight where my future is concerned. And so because of this worry that's starting to creep up on the inside of me, I'm going now to the newspaper to look at, you know, this different, you know, sayings about what's supposed to, you know, be, you know, the case. You know, today is going to be a day where you meet someone significant. And you'd be like, oh, wow. You're like, well, all right. And then the next day, you know, today is a day that, you know, you don't necessarily know why you're feeling down, but everything's going to be all right. Oh, yeah, you're right. I am feeling down. This is what I'm following because I'm uncertain about my future. A lot of times people can be uncertain about their future because maybe you're dealing with something in your present and you want some relief from that difficulty. You don't want it to keep going over into your future. Sometimes you're like me as a child where you just simply are just curious and wondering, you know, what's going to be the case? And you're looking for answers. Or other times, watch this, you may just have something good on the horizon. You just can't wait to get to the future. Either way, if you don't watch it, these things can wind up stimulating a sense of worry. And that's not what we are called unto. Now, you should have received as you came in, and if you didn't, go ahead and raise your hand. Someone will put one into your hands. A little plastic, you know, paper, a plastic bag with a sheet of paper in it, and you should have something to write with as well. Uh-huh. Yes, it's a quiz this morning. Did y'all study? Oh, you didn't study. Okay. Don't worry. You're going to be able to pass this. Now, one, everyone, grab a hold of that piece of paper. If you don't have one, just, again, lift up your hand. Someone will make sure you get one. But for everyone that's got one, and for those of you at home, I want you to do this as well. Grab a piece of paper, you know, get yourself a little pen. I'll give you about 3 seconds. Time's up. All right, here we go. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment, and look, this is for your eyes only. I want you to take a moment and write down 3 things that you may be worrying about concerning your future. Top 3. Now listen, if there isn't nothing, don't make anything up. But if there are, go ahead. If it's only one, just put one. Don't put any more than 3 though. Take a moment at home, here in the auditorium, write those down. It's for your eyes only. Maybe fold it in half after you're done with it and hold on to it. We're going to make use of it later on in this message. Someone say, worry no more. Now keep this in mind. The only way to cure really the sickness of worry is to trust in the love of God and let it rule in your life. This is the real crux of it. If you're going to cure worry, you have to learn how to trust in this love that's on the line. When you learn how to trust in that, praise God, it is a game changer indeed. If you don't watch it, worry will consume so much of your time, your energy. Worry will wind up costing you money. A lot of times individuals don't understand the book of Job. Job is a very different book in the Bible. But just in a quick snapshot, Job was a very righteous man, one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man in his land at that particular time, had, you know, a number of children, number of possessions, and so on and so forth. But then it said something, that he would, watch this, offer a sacrifice to God just in case my kids are out here messing up. He's worrying that something could happen to his children. So because something could happen to them, I don't know what they're doing, I'm going to bring this, you know, this sacrifice. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, interceding on behalf of your children. But watch this. Do it from a standpoint of faith, not fear. See, so often we wind up going to God, watch this, with the wrong, you know, attitude, wrong focus, wrong motive. And what Job was doing was really going deeper and deeper into fear and worry where his children were concerned. And it opened up the door to great destruction in his life. Take some time to read the book. We'll come back to it, you know, later. But the issue there was not God trying to punish him. The issue there was the fact that he allowed things now to happen because of his fear and that whole sense of worry. Now, of course, the one and only Jesus, he speaks to worry. He speaks to, you know, everything. But he speaks to worry in particular. Matter of fact, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Isn't that interesting? Pause, Selah, meditate on that. But then he keeps going. He's not done. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. He says, I'm telling you, you can't have two masters. He says, but, and here's the implication. When your master is the king, you don't have to worry about everyday life. See, he was addressing the fact that individuals were worrying about everyday life, and therefore they start serving almighty dollar. Money, 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 money. Oh, some of y'all remember. Let me keep reading. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drinks, don't worry about that, or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Can anyone answer that? Come on now. Life is more than that. Life is more than food. Life is more than the clothes, you know, that we wear. It's more than the cars that we drive. It's more than the houses that we live in. Look at the birds, Jesus says. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. In other words, can I put in these terms? He's like, look at the birds. They don't have a job. Huh? They don't have a 401k. They don't have an IRA. They don't have a pension. They don't have nothing. He says, but your heavenly Father, he feeds them. And watch this. And they're not flying around in a panic like, what are we going to do out here? I don't know, other birdie. What are we going to do? They're not caught in a sense of worry. They are well taken care of, and they understand that they were created that way by Almighty God. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Come on, let me pause right there. Aren't you more valuable to him, to God, than these birds? Now, the answer to that is yes. So let me hit something here real quick, because I know a lot of times some people have a mindset that, well, you know, people and animals are just the same. You know, what gives people the right over animals? Well, because God designed us in such a way where he considers you and me more valuable than our dog. More valuable than a cat. Nothing wrong with having a dog, cat that we love and share as a part of the family. But let's be clear. There's a difference between the humanity that he created in his image and the animals that he created in the planet. It says, aren't you more valuable to him than those little birds? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? So let me just check. Can anyone here say, or anyone online, you could say, you know what, because I worried, it changed my life, you know, so much for the better. Let me see. Anyone? You will never, watch this, listen, you will never worry your way into a better future. Never. As a matter of fact, your worry is going to create a horrible future for you. So the issue is, let's make sure we put worry in its proper place. So let me give you four things very quickly to be thinking about on this. Number one is this: God sees you. Say it with me, God sees me. Come on, tell that person, you know, around you, say, God sees you too. Now, why is that significant? Because if you have the mindset that, well, relationship with God is kind of like, I'm just like one, you know, like one pea in the pot. And, you know, God don't really know me from any different pea. No, God knows you intimately. Actually, he knows you better than you know you. And God sees you every place where you are, every place where you may go. You know, when Jesus was telling us here, you know, look, don't worry about life, because you are more precious than these particular birds. But then in another place here in Luke chapter, you know, 12, I like what he begins to explain. He amplifies this a little bit further. He says, what is the price of 5 sparrows? In that particular time, 2 copper coins. Yet God does not forget a single one of them. So in other words, these things that are relatively, you know, inexpensive, not of great value, God says, but I think about those sparrows. That's why, you know, we used to, you know, sing the song, you know, all the time, his eyes are on the sparrow. Mm-hmm. So I know his eyes are on me. Then he goes on and says, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And God says, I want you to know that I am so intimately acquainted with you that I know every hair you have on your head. I got them numbered. You can't number them. Well, maybe some of you could maybe have like 1 or 2 or something like that. Come on now, if you're bald, it'll be easy. But for those that have got some hair on your head, watch this. God says, I'm so intimately acquainted with you. I see you that your hairs are numbered. Jesus is trying to help us understand God sees us. God sees you, the individual. He sees you, the individual, and he wants to make sure that you understand how much he loves you, because his love for you and me has a great impact for our future. You will not enjoy a great future with Almighty God without understanding how to embrace his love. Now listen, what happens here? I've taught you this, you know, many years. You are what you eat. Come on now, you have a diet where you eat chocolate cake 3 times a day? Or you gonna start looking like a piece of cake? You are, I am what I eat. But now watch this though, watch this. But that also goes into what we intake into our heart. Now watch this, we have really kind of 3 gates, our eye gate, our ear gate, and our mouth. It impacts our heart. One reason why individuals have a difficult time really just embracing the love that God put on the line is because of what they eat. I remember, I'm going to go back to, you know, childhood again. I remember periodically I would go see some horror movies. Now, if you like horror movies, that's your business. I'm just going to give you my story. And I'm going to see these horror movies. And then I found that they were disturbing my sleep at night. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Now watch this. I'm going to date myself. Then I went to see this one called A Nightmare on Elm Street. So now not only did it disturb my sleep, it caused me not to want to go to sleep. I was racked in fear. I'm paralyzed by fear. I can't sleep well. I mean, if I'm sleeping at all because of, watch this, what I was eating. And the Lord really began to deal with me. He said, Sam, why are you feeding yourself that? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why are you doing that to yourself? Is that the future that you want? Where you're going to be paralyzed by fear? Or do you want the future that I have for you? And if you want that, you're going to have to feed yourself something different. Now, again, I have nothing against movies. I like movies. But there's some movies I just would not watch. There's some movies I start to watch and I turn them off. Like, that's garbage. That's almost pornographic. What in the world? Get that out of here. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The ratings today are not like they used to be 20 years ago. And certainly going back further than that. There's all kind of stuff. I don't want to understand it, how you get cartoon movies and the little cartoon characters are cussing. All right. I'm going to come back. Come on, everybody say, come on back, Pastor. I'm back. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. You are what you eat, though. Keep that in mind. Now, one of the familiar passages in the Bible, probably the most, is John chapter 3, verse 16. But another one that's very, 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 very popular, specifically in the church, is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Where God says to the children of Israel, watch this, while they were in bondage. So you know, when you're in bondage, you probably got a propensity to worry. And God right there in their whole, bondage, situation says to them in verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Somebody say, that's for me. You better believe that's for you. That is 100% for you. God's got plans for your good and not for your disaster. But now watch this. God doesn't force his plan on you. So you have to choose it. How do you choose it? How do you choose it? How do you know when opportunities are a part of God's plan for your life? Because everything that glitters is not gold. Every shut eye ain't sleeping. Every goodbye ain't gone. Things ain't necessarily what they appear to be. How do you know? I'm going to give you four questions. Four questions to ask yourself that will help you determine God's leading in your life. Are you ready? Say yes. Number one, how does this impact my relationship with my Father? So you're looking at an opportunity, you're looking at a situation. The number one question, because everything else really is rooted out of this, how does this impact my relationship with my Father? Does it encourage me towards him or pull me away from him? So you start looking at a situation, a new job offer that now is pulling you away from God. You know it up front that this is now about to remove you from God. You know it up front. But dear God, they're going to give me $30,000 more a year. I guess I can worship God on my own. Number two, how does this impact my relationship with my spouse? If you're married, come on, this is a critical question. How does this impact my relationship with my spouse? Listen, is it consistent with God's heart in leading me into a deeper union that accomplishes his purpose? See, a marriage is not for you. Can I get an amen right here? Amen. A marriage is not for you. See, a lot of times people think the marriage is for me. Oh, he's so fine. She's so wonderful. She's so sexy. All of that. Oh, I can't wait. It's not for you. It's a commitment between two people. One man, one woman, biologically born that way. To serve one another for the purposes of fulfilling God's. God's vision. Yeah, come on now. Huh? You get an A. Yes, indeed. Glory to God. Come on, that's what a marriage is. A marriage is for God. It's not for us. So you got to ask yourself the question when an opportunity comes up, how does this impact my relationship with my spouse? Again, is it consistent with God's heart in leading me into a deeper union that accomplishes his purpose, his vision, or does it eat away at the quality of our union under God? Come on now, you're still doing stuff together, but watch this. You don't do anything together now around God. Oh yeah, we go out to eat together. Oh, we go on vacation together. Oh, we do this together. But all the things now where we used to pray in the morning together, that's gone now. don't have time for that. You know, as we used to kind of go and worship together, no. There's other things now. This has to happen. See, that's robbing from your quality of marriage and therefore making you ineffective to accomplish God's vision. Third one is this. How does this impact my relationship with my children? Oh, yeah. Does this support me in raising a godly seed? That's kind of the follow-up question with that. Does it support me in raising a godly seed? Does it facilitate me reflecting Christ to my children? Or does it steal from that and cause me to reflect something other than Christ to them? Come on, we're not reflecting Christ to our children. That's an opportunity you don't want to take. That's a decision you don't want to make. You've been called to reflect Christ to your children. Now listen, you can't reflect who you're not. Come on, everybody right there with me. Come on. You cannot reflect who you're not. So that means priority number one is you got to take care of your relationship with God. You got to keep this fresh and healthy and strong. Because you can't give away what you don't have. And kids in particular are very astute. So kids will pay attention, and I don't want any kids in here saying anything. But kids will pay attention to, you know, someone, you know, mama, daddy, whoever, you know, in the church being like, oh, hallelujah, you know, but then at home, oh, boy, I'll whip your blank to blank blank. Kids be like, something don't seem right here. The fourth one is this. How does this impact my calling? How does it impact your calling? See, again, everything stems from this whole, you know, number one question, you know, with God. And when you come into relationship with God, watch this, God has called you and God has a calling for you. How does it impact your calling, the opportunity you're looking at? Does it provide opportunity for me to go deeper in my calling or does it diminish its importance in my life? Well, that's not necessary. Does it help me to stay committed to my calling or does it facilitate me compromising it? See, a lot of times individuals want to separate their calling from God. It's all connected, ladies and gentlemen. Everything's interconnected. It's like when people try to separate, you know, Jesus from the church. Anyone ever, you know, heard someone say, well, you know what, you know, I like God and so forth, but I don't do that church thing. But ladies and gentlemen, the church was God's idea. And here's how God describes, you know, things. He says Jesus is the head of the church and the church is the body. Now, when's the last time your head was separated from your body? So you don't get one without the other. You don't have Jesus without the church and you don't have the church without Jesus. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love reigns. Love reigns. Love reigns. Hey, here's the second thing. Second point. Seek God first, please. See, Jesus gives us a way to ensure that our future falls in line with his will. He gives us a way. And pretty much what he says is it's a matter of priority. He says, so now here's the priority. Seek God's kingdom first. So we keep reading in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 28 now says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful or beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Then watch this. Here he goes again. So don't worry about these things. Please say those six words with me. So don't worry about these things. Come on, one more time. So don't worry about these things. Saying. Our mouths are an indication of our worry or our faith for that matter. See, because your mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when your mouth is filled, or when your heart is filled with worry, it's going to start coming out your mouth. And Jesus says, look, don't worry about these things, saying, keep your mouth closed. He says, don't say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Now here, catch this. What Jesus is saying here, these things are what dominates the thoughts of those who are not allowing my love to reign. So it's dominating their thoughts because they are so worried. And rather than trust me, they choose to worry. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Come on, he knows all your needs. I said, all your needs. As a result, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Come on, first. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow. So don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, let me read verse 34 to you out of the Message translation, because I think it really conveys the proper heart of what Jesus was sharing right there at the end. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Yeah, God will be there. God will be there. Trust in his love. Yeah, trust in his love. Trust in his love, praise God, and make sure that you always have a priority to seek God first. Say it with me. I will seek God first. So now, right up here, I got a couple of jars for you. So now, here, this tends to be, you know, kind of the issues of our life. Different things, you know, hey, I got a job, you know, I got family, I got, you know, kids, I got school, you know, I got responsibilities, you know, at church, in my community, I'm on this board, you know, I do this. I mean, our lives are filled with just an enormous amount of little things. Jesus says here, though, have a mindset to seek the kingdom first. Now, the kingdom is represented right here in these large, you know, things. See, the large things are the first things. You don't get any bigger than your relationship with God. It's what we choose first. Now, unfortunately, what tends to happen a lot of times is that we tend to fill up our lives with all the stuff, and then we try to add God on top. And we add on top. And we add on top. We add on top. We add on top. Come on. Come on. Get in there, God. Get in there. Come on. Get in there. Oh. Now, what tends to happen when we do life in that order is that we never get all of God in there. There's always part of God left out. And that's why Jesus says, see, you're doing it the wrong way. Seek the kingdom first. So now, let all the big stuff be the priority. Whoa. Yeah, amen. Someone say, be careful, Pastor. Yeah, too late now. All right. Glory to God. But now, here's the situation that now we want to take this and work it in. See, because we got all the big stuff already in there. All the big stuff is in there. Interesting enough. When we got the big stuff in there first, everything else fit in as well. But when you do it in the opposite, you're always going to wind up leaving some of the big stuff out. Seek the kingdom first. Put the big stuff in first. Can the church say amen? Amen. Very quickly. Let me give you a couple of more. Couple of more very quickly. Get rid of the worry. Someone say, get rid of the worry. Good. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 9 simply says this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, the only way you can be lifted up by God is that you have to learn this thing called humility. Will you have a high opinion of yourself, but not too high? Come on now, not too high. It says, humble yourself. When you humble yourself, God says, I can lift you up. And then notice this. Cast all your anxiety on him. Anxiety is just another word for worry. Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. He says, watch this, the word of God. And God is trying to echo again. He says, the reason why you can give it to me because I care for you. I love you. My love reigns. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Guess who the ones that he can devour? Keep it in this context. The ones who are burdened with worry. It says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. So now, that piece of paper that you have, where you wrote down those words, ball that up. Come on, at home too. Come on, ball it up. Come on, stretch out your arm a little bit like this. Come on. I'm about to have you work that. Come on now. Stretch it out. Come on. Yeah, there you go. The Word of God tells us to cast all of our anxiety on him. So when you got something, come on, that's real life. We have some things that we can be tempted to worry about. But God says, here's what you do. Make an intentional, conscious effort to get rid of it. But watch this. Don't just simply throw it away. It says, throw it to me. Cast it to me. So now, here up front is the altar. That represents now, you know, part of the presence of Almighty God. So now, warm up your arm. Come on. Get that piece of paper in your hand. And I want you to toss that with all you got. Throw it up here at me at home. Just throw it across the room. 1, 2, 3, throw. Come on. Worries are gone. Come on, worries are gone. That only made it one row. Worries are gone. Come on, somebody shout that my worry is gone. We will collect all of these and put them in this proper place in the trash. Don't you pick them up when you leave. Don't pick it up physically. Don't pick it up mentally. Come on, it's gone. And the next time it comes to your mind, I want you to say this. That belongs to God now. What are you going to do about this? That belongs to God now. That ain't none of my business. That ain't none of my business. That now belongs to Almighty God. Last point is this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Ooh. By faith we understand the worlds were framed. Everything is framed, shaped by the word of God, the word that God spoke, so that the things which we see were not made of things which are visible. God says, everything you're experiencing right now, he says, I spoke that into existence, and I used stuff that you couldn't see. Let's put it in these terms. I made something out of nothing. Now, that's God's heart. Paul mentions it again here in Romans chapter 4 as well. He says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told Abram, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Come on now. God is one who creates new things out of nothing. God is the one who has been perfected in making new things out of nothing. Now watch this. Make the connection. You and I have been created in his image and after his likeness. Just like God creates new things out of nothing, watch this, the word of God tells you and me, you can create some new things out of nothing. Here's the fourth point right here. Learn how to speak to your future. You shape what you want to see. You begin to shape it, though, by the words of your mouth. Now, watch this. You can't just say anything. You got to learn how to say what God says. But saying what God says won't mean anything until it means something to you. And that's where we come back to that sense of meditation again. It's got to mean something to you. When it means something to you, watch this. God's word out of your mouth will be just as effective as it is coming out of his mouth. Somebody should receive that in Jesus' name. It will work for you the same way. And that's why Jesus says this in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, so in other words, Jesus says, look, what I'm about to say, you can take this to the bank and cash it. He says, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, He will have whatever. He will have whatever. She will have whatever. You better believe it, praise God. Come on, you got to speak to your future. You call your children blessed now. Come on, they're dealing with detentions and suspensions. And you say, no, no, not my child. I say that they line up with God's heart. Praise God. They are phenomenal and excellent students. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Their end shall be far greater. Praise God. Come on, begin to say what God says. See, that's why I can declare, praise God, watch this, that this movie theater in this current state is not our home. Praise God. Come on, come on. Impact Church is not a place. It's a people. But Father, we thank you. You got a place for us, praise God. Come on, come on. You got land for us. You got building for us. You got all the resources for us. See, but we begin to speak to our future. Not just simply just, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Get that out of your head. Begin to declare what it is you want to see, and you'll see what you've declared. Father, we honor you now and give you praise for your presence. Thank you, Lord God. Help us, Daddy, to be who you've called us to be, praise God. Those who know how to speak to our future, praise God. As we keep our eyes on you, as we keep you as a priority, we keep the big stuff always going in first. And we work everything else around you. We don't work you around other stuff. You're first. Father, thank you for helping us just continue to transform, to get deeper and deeper into your word and your truth. And then we thank you, your truth does what it always does. It brings freedom. It brings freedom. So, Father, we thank you right now for greater and greater freedom, praise God. Father, despite what may be going on in our society today, despite the reports of new surges in coronavirus, Father, we declare that 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come nigh us. Father, we declare with long life will you satisfy us and show us your amazing salvation, Father. We choose to say what you say, not just simply what we see. Father, we speak to our future. And as a result, we declare that our future is bright. Come on, every family that's represented here, praise God, we're declaring, Father, a phenomenal, blessed future. It doesn't mean challenges won't show up, praise God, but we'll know how to respond in those challenges, and that's always leaning on your love, trusting you. Father, we declare that the future of Impact Church of South Florida is bright, praise God. Yes, your vision comes to pass, praise God. Yeah, every single last bit of it, praise God. All that you have desired, all that you have designed, Father, we align ourselves with it now. And we say thank you for it. We say thank you for it, sir. And we will keep our mouths in line with your word. So we give you praise, glory, and honor for this. In Jesus' name. If you agree, would you just take 10 seconds just to rejoice with me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody rejoice for an amazing future. Come on, his love reigns over your future. You haven't got there yet, but he's already there. Hallelujah. You know, this is it's a wonderful thing about God. He's not bound by time. So watch this. God is just as much present in your future as he is in your present. He's not bound by time. He's just as much present in your future and your past as he is in your present. And God is simply trying to remind us, I got you. I got you. So keep leaning to me. Do this for me, please, and we're going to wrap up. Every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. At home, here in the auditorium. Come on, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody moving around. Listen closely to me. I mentioned it early on. That maybe you haven't made a decision to come into relationship with Almighty God. Now, it doesn't mean you're a bad person, but you're just missing out on the most significant relationship in all of the earth. It's the thing that God desires more than anything else. As he sees you, his heart is, I want to be in relationship with you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to spend time with you. So if that's you, you've never stepped into a relationship like that, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Whether you're at home, whether you're here in the auditorium, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. This is now stepping out of darkness over into God's marvelous light. Come on and enjoy. It's the way to a great future. So if that's you, whether you're here in the auditorium or at home, do this for me while heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Would you let me know that you'd like for me to pray for you for that specific invitation by just lifting up one hand under heaven? Right there where you are. Come on, lift it up high. Yep, at home. You know, here present. Be glad to pray for you. Be glad to pray with you. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, I see those. Amen. Praise God. I see you. You can put your hands down here as well as there in the auditorium. I mean, at home. You can put your hands down. God loves you. And he wants now to see his amazing plan come to pass in your life. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to all pray together. So everyone, please lift up two hands unto heaven and just say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you for your love. I choose to allow it to reign. So Jesus, I embrace you today as my Lord, as my Master, as my Savior, and as my King. I know that you are alive and well and resurrected from the grave. So I choose to give my life to you. Amen. Oh, somebody give God praise right there. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. I mean really rejoice. Praise God. Come on, come on. Really rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We give our lives to you, sir. So listen, if you prayed that right here, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you may think you are, here in auditorium or at home, this is what I want you to do. Let us know that you responded, you know, to that invitation today. Specifically right there online, you can just text the word decided to the number 954-280-2076. You can also do that, you know, here in the auditorium as well. So that way we know just to be praying for you. That's what we want to do. We want to encourage you to be able to take some next steps in your spiritual journey. Now, you can also just tap the link that you may see, you know, in the chat that's there, and it'll be able to do the same thing for you. It'll lead you to that particular place. Then I want to ask this of you, two other things. Number one is take some next steps, and our next step that we really love is Growth Track. Get in on the Growth Track. It's a tremendous time. It lasts for about 30 minutes, and it's going to happen today at noon on Zoom. So if you text the number Growth Track, or actually Grow, to that same number, 954-280-2076, it will then now send you the link to the Zoom so you can get in on that. I encourage you. It'll be a blessing, you know, to you. And then a couple of other particular points. Also have a booklet for you. When you text, you know, the word baptism or decided to that number, we'll send out to you an electronic, you know, devotional. It's a 7-day devotional that you can get in on. If you're here present, we have some hard copies, and you can just ask any of our leaders as you're exiting. They'll be glad to put one into your hands as well. Finally, someone say baptism. Water baptism is also very valuable and very significant as a next step, praise God. So if you've never been water baptized, since you believe, you can register for our next one that's coming up next month. So you can register for that by texting the word baptism to that same number, 954-280-2076. Just text the word baptism. We'll get you information. We'll send you out, you know, things so that you can be prepared and get you all the specifics. Praise God. That's a tremendous next step to take. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on now. Anybody out here looking forward to a great future? Yeah. Anybody on this side looking forward to a great future? Yeah. Anybody right here looking forward to a great future? Glory to God. Praise God. We'll tell you what, we're going to go ahead and dismiss this way. Our praise team is going to take us out. But just before they do, come on, lift up your hands again. Father, I declare your supernatural blessing to rest upon every family that's represented here. Father, may they be empowered for great things. May they keep a focus, dear God, where it's always keeping you first, praise God. And Daddy, everything that they put their hands unto as they honor you, we say it shall prosper, it shall bring value and blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Go and be blessed.